Sports Radio. The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Man in Line's open line today through till 1 o'clock. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Whatever's on your mind, anything you'd like to bring up, then by all means do get in touch. A note in from Sean, who just said, I'm increasingly concerned that the island has been told by the UK to take our share of economic migration. Not heard anything about that, Sean. If you could remember, we're not in the UK, Sean, so it's not something they could suggest, or I don't quite know what you mean by our share of anyway, Sean, you've obviously know something that nobody else does, so by all means do get in touch. Stuart said, I'd like to raise a concern about the current situation with the RNLI. As many people know, the RNLI, the Royal National Lifeboat Institution, has its roots in the Isle of Man through Sir William Hillary, who founded the organisation in Douglas in 1824. Given that history, I think it's deeply disappointing that Douglas RNLI is currently out of service. The Isle of Man has a proud maritime heritage, and our lifeboat service is essential for the safety of local people, fishermen, and visitors alike. I hope this issue can be highlighted and that those responsible will do everything possible to restore the Douglas Lifeboat Service as soon as possible. It will be a fitting tribute to Sir William Hillary and the legacy that he left to the Isle of Man. Well, obviously the RNLI, the lifeboat station, the shed, if you like, is in a very sorry state at the moment. So, well, quite what's going to happen, we don't know. Regarding the boat, a note from Sue just said, we've had a family bereavement recently, which means travelling across for the service. We have a dog which we normally book into the cabin, but due to the ferry change and the unreliability of the ferries, means we aren't happy putting the dog in kennels as the sailings could be delayed or cancelled. Therefore, extending the kennel stay, one of us is staying on the island to look after the dog. Isn't a happy situation to be in. We need reliable ferries. Or we could build a bridge. Be a long bridge, wouldn't it? A note in from John, who just said, it's time the steam packet management is open and transparent and tell us what is wrong with the Manxman and what the timescale is for remedial works. The rumour mill is in overdrive with allegations that the defects are significant and the timescale could be months, says John. So John said, come on, steam packet, it's time to respond. The sailings today, of course, there is no Manxman. She's in Camel Laird getting repaired. We don't quite know what it is, whether it's that thumping vibration at the back end, whether it's the prop shaft. We don't quite know what it is. We don't know whether there's somebody coming over from South Korea or they're sending for a part. Normally the parts come from Belgium, don't they? That's what they always say. But anyway, we'll find out. As soon as possible. As soon as we know, you'll know. The boat's concerned, the Ben McCree is in Larne. She's just outside Larne at the moment. She'll be there in the next 10 minutes and will depart Larne at 1:30, getting back at 6:15, and then there will be a sailing to Heysham tonight at 7:45. In the meantime, Mananan is whizzing backwards and forwards to Liverpool. She got into Liverpool at 9:20 this morning, left Liverpool at 11:06, and will be in at about 1:50 this afternoon, and then out at 3:00 to Liverpool, and then obviously back this evening. But the situation is that MV Manxman is in Camel Laird on the Wirral being mended. We don't quite know what it is. Ben McCree has obviously got timetable runs to Larne in Northern Ireland, which means that there's a bit of a hole and lots of freight hasn't been moved because the Ben McCree, the cabin-free Ben McCree now, is going to Larne, and the Arrow has left Poland, at the weekend, apparently. Last time we looked, she was by Orkney, so she's going to be with us on the Isle of Man, hopefully later on today or possibly tomorrow, which means that the freight can then get moving again, because the Manxman is in Camel Lead. Our flagship is in Camel Lead. Now, we don't know what the problem is, whether or not it's the prop shaft, whether the vibration, whether or not the fact that Douglas Harbour was needed dredging, or whether she scraped her bottom, whatever it is, we don't know. Well, nobody's saying anything, to be quite honest. DOI is saying nothing. Steam Packet's saying nothing. As usual, in the middle, it's you, the customer, you, the traveller. So there was also a story yesterday, and I don't know whether you can confirm it, but the sailing coming in from Liverpool last night, it was proved that the ferry terminal in Liverpool isn't big enough. It was a full ferry last night coming from Liverpool, and people were having to sit outside because the ferry terminal was chock-a-block. Everybody got on the boat, everybody got on Mananan, but we had reports that the ferry terminal was chock-a-block. And apparently, and again, we're waiting for confirmation, there was but one working toilet. Now, you can remember when Pontus was in session. Pontus was that little floating bridge where we used to have a ferry terminal, because the old ferry terminal went, and that was small enough. But Pontus often got very full, and there wasn't much in the way of ventilation, unless you opened doors. So we'll find out. Is the ferry terminal big enough in Liverpool for Mananan? Has it got air conditioning? There's nothing really in the way of refreshments, apart from vending machines. So we'll see. Manxman repairing at the moment in Camel Laird. Ben McCree going to Larne, and obviously the decision's been made. There will be no passenger cabins, so that will presumably mean no dog cabins. Mananan, the situation with the Liverpool ferry terminal, and the Arrow will be here tomorrow. It's the Isle of Man. Schools broke up last Thursday, by the way. We'll wait and find out, and as soon as we get any information, then we'll pass it on to you. A note in that just says, I was on the boat last night. It was full. This is Texter 382, and the foot passengers got on before the cars. We drivers, who pay the most, struggle to find seats. I also think half of the boat had international travellers arriving. No passports. So, what's happening? That was 382. On the Isle of Man Harbour's Facebook page, it's saying the Manxman is out for 10 weeks. Is that true? That's 223. Is it right that the Manxman had shellfish and seaweed inside of the hull when inspected in dry dock? Won't be back in service until the end of September. September? And the parts needed couldn't be identified. Well, we'll ask the steam packet. I'll pass that on to our newsroom. But we don't know. There's little meaningful information about wind farms. The MUA chairman has now made remarks about a new interconnector. This is G on 313. Again, there's no forecast of future energy prices. We know the government will support the welfare state, but their silence indicates others will face a bleak future meeting their bills, says G. Well, any thoughts on that? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. Eddie's on now with us. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, you all right, mate?
Very well. Did you have a good weekend?
I had a wonderful weekend, thank you. Good. Absolutely brilliant. Yep. Peel is a lively spot, it's great.
Okay.
I just want to comment on comments made by Allington. He is he's actually not standing for election, is he?
No, he's not, no. But he was talking about circling the Isle of Man with wind farms.
Well, exactly, yeah. Now, what really gets me is, why, if he's not standing, why is he making more comments? Quite a few people have said to me, has he got an added interest in it?
Well, he's still
all
an,
the time,
he's
or
still
not?
An MHK. They don't. Keyes gets dissolved 2 weeks this Thursday, the 13th of August. So he's still an MHK. He's still getting paid.
Yeah, but I mean, why make comments if you're not going to stand for anything now? It's his very last job was done last week. You know, comments made now in the public are not the same as made in Parliament, are they? And then you've got Alf saying it's a complete fantasy having these wind turbines. So we've got Alf saying one thing and him saying another. And then also, I'd like to point out, I was listening to, is it Barbara? What's her name, the MHK? Barbara?
Claire Barber.
She was bragging about the work that they've done on the peat, looking after the peat bogs in the north of the island, the trees at Salty Will and everything. And yet, on the other hand, down the south of the island, she wants to dig up 250,000 tonnes of peat and put concrete in its place and cut down a whole forest. Now, the word that comes to my mind is a bit of a hypocrite, that, isn't it? You're bragging about one little bit and yet creating a disaster at the other end of it.
Well, I don't speak for Claire Barber, but I'm guessing she'd probably say that's for the greater good.
Well, if it's for the greater good, why is she creating peat bog at one end and taking it away at the other? That's not for the good, is it? You had to leave it alone. It took hundreds of thousands of years to create these peat bogs. So you can't just take it away overnight and think that's a good thing. You know, well, our kids, the future of this island depends on us lot now, and they've got the chance to make a difference at the moment. All these young ones from the schools, excuse me, when you do your interviews with the schools, none of them have had any education on these things. I've given my telephone number to any of them if they want to see what I've studied for the last 3 years. That's about the same amount of time that you do in university to get a degree, isn't it? But nobody seems to teach the kids of our schools what all this lot means. It's just a commercial, absolute nonsense. So I wish that Alf and Allinson would get together and do a live show and say who's right, give us their views. Why is one way and why is one the other? I've already estimated it'll cost the Isle of Man about £1 billion.
Are you asking the candidates who come round to your door about it all?
I am indeed, yes. I've told you. I'm even asking them if they can put it on tape for me alone, because I know I can't use it in court, so that I can, if they go against it, you know, I can say to them, you told me this, you told me that. But, you know, the government has dissolved now, hasn't it?
And no, all of a sudden, no, in 2 weeks' time.
Oh, is it in 2 weeks' time? Yeah. Well, let's see if they say anything in the government about why one Allison is one way and Cannon's the other. Let's see if they can tell the public out here the truth of it all.
So
about time we had some truth.
You're in. Are you in Russian?
I'm in Russian, yeah.
Okay, so we've got Gary Chambers, Michael Crowe, Michelle Haywood, Mark Kemp, Lawrence Vaughan Williams and Simon Williams. Have you spoken to any of those?
I've spoken to half of them now. I've got two to get in touch with to see if they'll come and have a chat with me and a couple of the neighbours. But there's a couple I don't want to even entertain. One is the one who's been in for the last 5 years and done nothing. So that one's completely out, and the same with all my family. Not one of them will vote for that one again. But it'll be interesting to see what the rest of them want.
Okay, all right. Eddie, thanks for calling today.
Thanks, Andy.
All right, 19 minutes past 12, and Betty's with us now. Hi, Betty.
Oh, hi, Andy. A couple of things, really. First of all, and most importantly, really, Julian, and I believe what he said, that Ofsted is failing. So what will the Isle of Man do when Ofsted fails? And these poles go up and we're left with them and no money.
Well, Ørsted's backed by the Danish government. It's a big company in Denmark, and the Danish government's very much involved in it. So if Ørsted, I mean, not that it's in no danger at all of financial failure, but the Danish government is behind it.
Right. Well, they're still not doing well in other places. Other places are turning them down. And I think the government is just in it to get some money for the seabed, really. They're not thinking about the Isle of Man and the people in the Isle of Man.
Well, our government, you mean?
Yes, our government.
Well, they've said that from the beginning, Betty, in the offshore wind farm is a revenue generator. The one in the south of the Isle of Man is to pursue our net zero aims. So they've always said that the offshore one is about money, and obviously it'll have to be a lot of money because it's going to ruin the view.
Yes, and also I think Alex Allinson gave the game away by letting us know that there's a possibility of them building them all around the island.
Mm.
And that is very worrying.
Okay, all right.
So that's my big problem. And I actually think that potential politicians should be able to say what they think about it. I think it's really wrong and undemocratic. I have said this before, that the government is trying to stop them from letting us know their views on this.
Yeah. But this is the advice from the senior legal man, the Attorney General, Mr. Wallenberg, Walter Wallenberg. That's his advice.
Why has he advised this?
Because if they evince an opinion, if they state an opinion, his view is that in law they'll have to be recused. They can't then make a decision when it comes to Tynwald on whether or not this goes ahead, because they've previously stated a position. When they get, they can't be part of the decision making process. That's his view in law.
It's really wrong. We need to know what potential politicians think about these things. And I think it's really undemocratic. Okay. Can we do something about it in that case?
Okay.
Because it's totally wrong.
Okay.
And I'm not the only one who thinks this, I'm sure.
All right.
So, and I think it's terribly, terribly important.
Okay, Betty.
I haven't finished. The other thing is the steam packet. Can we consider cutting our losses and selling this boat and getting one that actually sails?
Well, not at the moment. We are due a new boat because the fast craft is going to be phased out at some point. In the next couple of years, it's supposed to be phased out. And we're getting a new boat to replace the fast craft. And the rumour is it's going to be a small version of the Manxman. So there will be a new one coming. But as we are at the moment, the Manxman is big. I mean, she's great for freight. When she sails, she's absolutely fine, and she's got lots of nice cabins. Well, that's the whole issue, isn't it?
When she sails. That's the thing. That's the main thing. When she does sail, Andy.
Okay. All right. Good to talk to you, Betty. Thanks for that.
Okay. Bye.
My 24 minutes past 10. Just, if you like, to pause now. Pause for 10 seconds or so. And give a thought to the motor vessel Manxman sitting in dry dock in Liverpool. Something somewhere is not quite right. What, we don't know, but let's hope she gets back to full marine health soon. Alex Allinson, former Treasury Minister, Ramsey MHK, suggested that Moor Vannin Offshore Wind Farm, that's the one off the east coast, could be the first of many around the island. There was almost instant backlash. Alex Allinson, Dr. Allinson, have been speaking at a hearing and said the project will be important for the sustainable economic future of the Isle of Man. Shortly afterwards, Chief Minister Alfred Cannon, MHK, took to his social media to bluntly rubbish the claims, saying it's not helpful and it's not happening. Here's Dr. Allinson.
I don't think they were. I think, obviously, you've covered some of the restrictions put on ministers or members who may end up having to be deciders of this eventual recommendation that comes from the independent panel. And so I think when you look at some of the coverage of the evidence being given to the panel, it has been lacking one key crucial part, which is quite basic. What's in it for people on the Isle of Man? What are they going to get from a wind farm? And actually, that was one of the comments made by the panel chair, that they wanted more information from government, what the benefits would be for those people who are disadvantaged by having their view of the Irish Sea ruined, perhaps, by large windmills. And so I thought, as Treasury Minister and as previous Department for Enterprise Minister, who played a part in drawing up the economic strategy, who looked at all the evidence presented to us about various ways of increasing the prosperity for the people of the Isle of Man, it was a chance for me to try to give that different perspective. So it wasn't meant to be incendiary, it wasn't meant to be disrespectful for those who oppose offshore wind farms. I completely understand their arguments, but it was trying to present some evidence about why this was part of the economic strategy that was overwhelmingly supported by Tim Wilde at the start of this administration.
You opened up the prospect that this is a test case. Typically what you've done is united opposition across the island.
I don't think I have, because again, yes, there is a very vocal opposition to offshore wind farms, but there's also a large number of people who see the benefits of this, not only in terms of the economic benefits, but the very essence of the climate change emergency that was declared in the previous administration, and the fact that we still haven't delivered that reliability, sustainability, and our own energy security. And this is a way we could do that.
Alex Allinson, MHK, explaining his position. What do you think of his position? What do you think of the fact that, well, there may be lots of wind farms around the Isle of Man? It does get breezy here, doesn't it, between October and March? I mean, it gets very breezy. So do you think this will be useful? His point also, the fact that we haven't been told, and presumably now they haven't been told, what we're getting out of this. What's the payoff? If we are going to have a huge 1,000-foot wind farm off the east coast of the Isle of Man, 87 of the things clanking round, how much are we going to get? How much will it affect our lives in the future? Will it take us to the land of milk and honey? Or otherwise.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance. A choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
1986.
At Manx Glass and Glazing, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary. That's right. Manx Glass and Glazing have been delivering quality and stylish aluminium and UPVC windows and doors to the island since 1986. And we've spent four decades committed to developing our community, including investing in future generations through our apprenticeship scheme. Visit our showroom on Snugborough Trading Estate and see why we've been helping the island for 40 years. Trust Manx Glass and Glazing. Quality and style since 1986.
Ramsey Care Products is now opened in St Paul's Square, Ramsey. An Aladdin's cave of stock including mobility scooters, Rise recliners, household aids and more. Call 627-177 to find out more. Ramsey Care Products. Affordable mobility solutions for you.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, Rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
Visit Ramsey Art Gallery for a fabulous range of top brand watches and stunning gold and silver jewellery, gifts for all occasions, and of course our gallery of prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsey Art Gallery Jewellers and Engravers opposite the RNLI shop.
Dig it, lift it, dump it, load it. When you need to just get on and do it, Gunn JCB it. Based in Spring Valley Trading Estate, they're the experts in JCB machinery sales, parts and servicing. JCB have been on the island since 1960, so their local experience and knowledge will help find the ideal equipment for your project. Just call 664-866 and ask for Matt for machine sales and Dave for parts and servicing. Gunn JCB. Just do it.
The 2026 Commonwealth Games are underway in Glasgow, and Manx Radio is bringing you all the action from the Scottish city. We'll be bringing you daily coverage of Team Isle of Man's mission to shine on the global stage. Each day, we'll be bringing you our daily live Commonwealth Games blog on the Manx Radio website, giving you minute-by-minute updates on our Manx competitors, as well as news, interviews and more via the Manx Radio Sport Facebook page. So if you're following Team Isle of Man in Glasgow, make sure to check out all the latest at manxradio.com and follow Manx Radio and Manx Radio Sport on social media.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Past the mic, 12:30. The Liverpool terminal, not enough room for passengers yesterday, says 223. People were queuing for ages for the toilet. I was told there was only one. There were two. One ladies' toilet, one gents' toilet, and no urinals in the men's, which means only one person at a time could use any of the toilets. Well, if that's true, that's patently unusable, isn't it? That's just not fit for... If there are only two toilets in this, and the darn thing was full, and people... Thank the Lord, it was half a decent evening last night. It wasn't rainy or windy. Dr. Allinson, says Margaret, was simply clarifying at the Marine Infrastructure Management special hearing what was in the government's agreement regarding the possibility of wind farms being around the island in the future. Chief Minister Alf Cannon was part of the 2014 agreement to look at renting out our seabed and subsequently the agreement with Ørsted. He's backtracking because he knows if his heir and Michael constituents think in the future they'll be surrounded by offshore wind farms around their coast. Thank you, Margaret. And Jewin on now. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Andy. I thought I'd have seen you judging the heifers at the weekend. Were you not at the agricultural show?
I didn't get my invitation, actually, to Orisdale. How was it?
You didn't? Oh, well, absolutely great show. Well organised. Guys did well with the organisation. A lot of people there. Very, very popular. Noel Edmonds was there, of course, and Neil McCoy Ward all walking around together. Some money there between them two, I reckon. And the governor was there, but I kind of failed to see the DEFA minister. I don't know whether the farming community seen her there, but I didn't see Claire walking around.
Was there a DEFA? Was there a DEFA tent there? Was there a DEFA marquee?
There was a DEFA presence there. Yes. Yes, there was. Just thought the minister, it's not the first time that her absence has been noted, but yeah, I might be wrong on that, but I didn't see her walking around. But no, a good show, Andy, very well supported. And again, another reason why we need to keep farming, you know, people seeing the work that the guys put in there and the farming and the sheep and everything. So definitely another big part of our culture. A few things just picking up on there on the week. I noticed last week Theresa Cope has landed herself a head of health in Guernsey.
Fill-in. She's kind of filling as a chief exec of the Guernsey Health.
Very appropriate, that one, wasn't it? Eddie was on before when he was talking about the clarity from what's happening with statements from Alex Allinson, etc. And it bears me back to the programme, I think, a couple of years ago we're on here, when we curtised John Curtis. We picked up on his website with wind turbines down through the middle of the island, which, of course, was denied. But there was a picture on his website about that. So, again, that brings into mind at this stage of the game what actual truths we're getting told about these wind turbines. A little bit more clarity. There's a site, actually, Hebridean Horizon, if people want to look into it. And it's what's happening up there with wind turbines and their views on stuff that's happening up there. Hebridean Horizon. And it's hebrideanhorizon.co.uk. Worth looking at and worth seeing what they're thinking about up there about it. And you're talking there about the Manxman, and I know the people in the shipping registry are very anxious about the next boat that the Steam Packet are going to build, and that it's designed properly for us, not to have the same problem again. There is a boat, I believe, that's being looked at the moment, or the plans for it, for a, like you say, a smaller version of the Manxman.
Yeah.
But people in the registry who are shipping people are concerned that the right people do the right job this time. Because I'd say we've been left with a bit of a mess there.
Well, the thing is, the Manxman's a lovely boat. I mean, she's a great boat. It's just that we don't know whether she's the right boat for Douglas Harbour. And remember, the steam packet are caught in between the pincers here. They've got us, the customers, belly aching about stuff, but they have to fit in with what the DOI does. The DOI is in charge of the harbour. They're the only ones that can dredge the harbour. So if they haven't dredged the harbour properly, nobody's saying they haven't, but if it isn't right for a big boat like that, it's not the steam packet's fault. They were acting in good faith in getting a boat like that because they thought there would be enough water in the harbour.
No good having a Maserati if you haven't got the road to run it on, is it, Andy? I mean, shouldn't this work have been done? I mean, it's all like these ifs and whens now, but the people who are in the know and the people who make their living out of these things, surely this must have been thought out beforehand. I mean, you know, the fact that I think Whittaker actually said he was going to build the new facility at Liverpool at one stage. And, of course, there was talks many years ago of, I think Stenaline were in the talks. I was talking to an ex-minister the other day about using Birkenhead, which was, at that time, by everyone that was in the meeting, considered an absolutely brilliant idea. But they've gone off on their own tangent with everything, and this is the mess that we're in. I was listening just an hour ago, actually, to Sarah Maltby talking on her programme with Phil Gorn. And relaying, the troubles that she's had while being in the last 5 years in there and not being able to get things done. And really that brings me on to this next election. And we should be looking really very carefully at who's going to go into this next election. And there's so many people now entering the arena, it's going to water down the voting, it's going to dilute the voting. And I think people really should be conscious that we need people in there who are business-minded, people who run businesses, and people who are going to go forward with that direction. And listening to people in Treasury, they say, well, we say to ministers, do you want something that works efficiently or do you want something gold-plated? And, of course, people want to put their name on something that's gold-plated. I think we need business people in there. We don't want to be looking at, oh, well, that's so-and-so, and their father was great or their grandfather was great. We need people in there that's going to take us forward for the next 5 years. It's going to be very important. There's a lot of stuff which is a mess at the moment. It's all over the place. And we need some clarity back in government. And more so as well, the people need confidence in the government again. At the moment, there's so much lack of confidence. I've seen so much apathy around. We need a group of politicians that can work with Treasury and that can hold CEOs to account. People who say, I'm not going to sign this off until I understand what it means. And I think that's the only way we can go forward in the next 5 years. So a lot to go out there, Andy. I'll leave it at that for today. I've got loads more on the list.
Okay. Thanks, Julian. Thanks for that. 22 minutes before, want to note him from Charlie, who just said, quite simply, any fool can spend money, but it takes a wise man or woman to make money. Oh, by the way, Juan mentioned Sarah Maltby, who's standing in Douglas South. Also currently standing in Douglas South, Claire Christian and Livia Lenarduzzi. Let's get to I think it's Bonzo with us now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello there. Yes, in the usual thing of, oh dear, somebody has mentioned something just now which I need to comment on rather than what I said I was going to comment on when I phoned in the switchboard. But that's live radio for you, isn't it? Juan talking about people in Treasury not knowing about business. Well, there is one person in Treasury who knows all about business. His name's Gary Kirrett. Yes, he's a member of the Legislative Council, but he's a departmental member of the Treasury, and he has a history in business, 50 years or more. And he has done some pretty big ticket things in America. His stuff is IT. But he's done other things, such as, I think he ran an airline in Namibia or something exotic like that. But he does have a very long and very successful history in business. So, you know, I think Juan can rest assured that there is somebody in Treasury who does know what they're doing.
Okay.
As a political member. Yeah. Very quickly on the boat. I seem to remember all this with the Ben McCree, and then even earlier with the Mona's Queen.
Oh, now, crikey, yes.
Yeah, I mean, we moved across as a family on the Mona's Queen. And, well, you know, you put your cup of tea on the table and it would go for a walk in 5 minutes. In 6 minutes, it'd be off the table. The vibration was terrible. I'm not quite sure what the solution was, but I think it sounds like, again, a thrust block problem. You know, a thrust block is the thing that holds the prop shaft.
Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, if things go a bit awry and things, you know, don't have to be out very, very much for it to set up vibrations and resonances. And of course, the thrust block has to be, you know, really solidly welded, etc., bolted with ruddy great bolts to the actual structure of the ship. And so, you know, obviously it then transmits that vibration around the ship and stuff, and that can shake other bits of stuff as well. So it might be that. You know, it's not an uncommon problem with new ships, and also with sort of first of type ships.
But so the thing is that vibration around the stern has been there almost since we got her, though. So, I mean, surely this is not a new problem.
Well, no, it's not a new problem. It's a design fault. But that's the kind of thing that you do get with a first of type, because the Mananin is a, you know, it's a custom build. Because and as we were saying about various issues with the boat, with getting the boat into harbour and such. Well, you know, the spec for the Mananin, the Manxman, was that it had to be the biggest boat that you could get into the harbour as it's currently configured. And that's why when you see it turning, of course, you know, you can just about get a cigarette's paper width in between it and the various parts of the harbour structure. And that's why the manoeuvring thrusters are so important. But now that you have very, very, very accurate GPS and stuff like that, you can, you know, turn your very, very big boat in the diameter of a sixpence. And that's what it was built for. Right. But, you know, that also means that the harbour has to be in, you know, perfect condition for it to do it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no room for error. And because it's a big structure, you know, if you're trying to do that when it's blowing a wind, then, sorry, it's not going to happen. Those are other considerations. But coming to the wind farm debate, well, yes, Alex Allenson is kind of right. And Alf, although not really being right, is sort of a bit right. Because these things were identified, I think, in the AEA report of 2010, going back, that there was the possibility of three substantial wind farms off the Manx coast. The Morvanin one, a site south of Chicken Rock, and one on the west coast, kind of north, you know, just north of the headland of Peel, then going up past, Kirkmark and up to Jerby.
Yeah.
So those are known things, and that was, you know, what Alex Allenson, yeah, you know, these were the options on the table, and then we looked at them, and then we went this way. It doesn't mean that those options are still on the table and there's going to be some sort of massive conspiracy of going, oh, yes, now we're in government again, whoever it is, will go, yes, let's build a blooming great wind farm off Chicken Rock and let's build a blooming great wind farm off the West Coast. No, that's not going to happen. But The thing is, of course, that other people are building wind farms off the west coast, around the southwest of the island and the southeast of the island. And they're beyond the 12-mile limit, and there's nothing we can do about it. And those will be nice big things that spoil the view, and we will, as I say, have no control of it, and
right.
Also, more importantly, no money from it. So a lot of the argument about, oh, what about the view, etc., is, well, that boat's already sailed. Sorry. So, you know, are we going to, you know, make a rational choice and go, look, we need the money? But that also comes to another thing with Ørsted, where they're trying to actually get it for four magic beans and a turnip.
Yeah.
And they actually have to be told to foxtrot Oscar in no uncertain terms unless they start negotiating in a realistic way. You know, or not. Will we look at our view and have no money for it?
To Precy, well, I think what you've said before is, so in principle, this is going to happen. This is the one off our east coast. In principle, if it's going to happen, we need a lot more money, and they need to be serious about a lot more money. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because at the moment, they're talking about, I'm seeing figures bandied around about something like $60 million a year, and some kind of percentage on the power production. Now, the $60 million a year, of course, note, is an index link for a 35-year period. Yeah, they're going to love that. Of course, Ørsted would love that, because it means that the thing costs them half as much as the value of that £65 million diminishes over time.
But surely somebody in our government put those two words in, indexing. Surely they would have thought to put index linked into that.
You might think that. I can't possibly comment.
Okay. Bonzo, thanks very much. I'm just going to go and get four turnips now.
Okay,
thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling today. 13 minutes before one.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The man in line.
A note from Jason who said, the steam packet, Wednesday, 5th of August, not a single passenger sailing bookable to or from the UK. No EasyJet flights to the northwest on Tuesday or the Wednesday. Only the limited and very expensive Loganair flight, £500 for one adult and three children one way on the date. £500. How is this acceptable to the public and our visitor economy, and why are there no Fastcraft sailings at a minimum? Cancel sailing has really messed up plans for our family. We had due to come over. We came back on the Ben a week ago, says WhatsApper 744. We used to have a dog cabin when on the Ben. We had to go into the dog lounge, which is so small it was claustrophobic. The steam packet has refurbished the dog lounge and made it worse than it used to be. There were five dogs in it with owners, and he couldn't even walk to get out of the door. We spent the journey on deck.
One architectural design company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Ramsey Garden Centre opens 7 days a week for an extensive range of exclusive products, garden gifts and ornaments, solar water features and offers throughout the garden centre. Grow smarter, greener, season after season with Ramsey Garden Centre.
Healthcare can often feel disjointed, uncoordinated and lonely, especially when off-island care is required. That is not the case at Clinique Savoie. With clinics in Douglas and Ramsey, Clinique Savoie is the first private integrated healthcare service to bring together Manx GPs, specialists and carefully selected partners who all work together to ensure your care is completely focused on you. Call 682000 or visit cliniquesavoie.com. Take the next step with Clinique Savoie.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Now is your chance to recognise inspirational individuals and groups making a real difference on the Isle of Man with the Heroes of Man Awards, brought to you by A Little Piece of Hope charity.
From quiet acts of kindness to outstanding community work, nominate your hero or heroes at alittlepieceofhope.com/nominations. That's alittlepieceofhope.com/nominations. Nominations close Sunday the 30th of August, with the awards ceremony late January 2027. Details coming soon. This advert has been kindly supported by Cayman National Bank in the Isle of Man, rewarding relationships built on trust, and your nation's station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Really, says 220, the ferry terminal at Liverpool isn't big enough, 80 million and counting, and it's not fit for purpose. You couldn't make it up, says 220, we don't need to, it's real. As per the AG, none of the Isle of Man Tynwald candidates can discuss the wind farm proposals. If that's the case legally, then surely they can't discuss any items which may be discussed in Tynwald in the future. Have we considered this in manifesto discussions with Manx Radio? No, 339. It's just about the wind farms. Orsted, it's 068, tells us Orsted are being propped up by the Danish government, and there's talk on the internet, oh my word, it must be true then, that a change of government at their general election could withdraw support to Orsted. Well, we don't know that, do we? And if anybody does know about it, then by all means, tell us all about it. Julian's with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. That is exactly the point I was going to make.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, Betty brought up a very good point about how financially secure Orsted is. Today, Orsted's share price is 90% down on its peak. And I think what Betty brought up, more worrying for Orsted, is there are four Danish political parties in waiting who've said that they will get rid of the shareholder ownership of Orsted, especially after the government's injection of 60 billion kroners into Orsted made no difference to the share price. If there isn't a snap election beforehand, the next election where they'll be able to take power is March the 23rd, 2030, which is before Morvan and is intended to be started, Andy.
Right.
So the idea that the government are propping up Orsted, which is true, that could all change in 2030, which is some time before they're even thinking of commencing it here.
It would be nice to know what the public opinion is in Denmark about this position, because, I mean, Denmark is surrounded by wind turbines, isn't it?
And they're getting fed up with it. I mean, Mette Frederiksen's the Prime Minister, and they've got a minority coalition government of four parties there, and they had to do that because of this one of these big talking points. The other one was immigration. And a lot of the pundits are thinking that you've got the there's four other ones in waiting, known as the blue bloc with without a K on it parties. So if they get in, Orsted not going to look too fancy, and they're not great at the moment, even with 60 billion kroners of support and also selling almost all of their assets off, including all their onshore stuff across Europe and Ireland. So they've had heaps of money, and nothing seems to be moving the needle on their share price. Speaking of money, by the way, recently we've been hearing about James Kingston, who was giving us some advice on that we should change our financial culture on the island. I noticed that he is the director of DAOSPV. DAO means Decentralized Autonomous Organization. So he talks a lot about tokenization, where you sell something to somebody on the computer. The problem with that is you've had things like the non-fungible token scandals. Even Justin Bieber was back in these things and then got stung with them, where you think you own something where you actually don't. Even a few months ago, Unicoin, they were saying that they were backed with billions of dollars. Turned out they weren't. And they've been nailed by the SEC for misrepresentation. And the problem you've got is you've got a double-sided thing. You've got celebrity influence and hype-driven valuations, poor disclosure, weak governance. Buyers confusing ownership of a token with ownership of an underlying asset. And they mentioned this, you know, the blockchain record, but that doesn't magically make the underlying legal claim, if you say it's yours, trustworthy. If you've got a gold bar or you've got a painting with provenance, those are real things, you know, that you can sell if you need to. But, you know, this problem is all the token does is it proves that something moved from, say, A to B, whoever that might be. But you can't actually prove the existence of any assets. So And you've got all this legality going on. I mean, he's talking about trying to make it legal, but you know, digital, it's just out. And you know how fast banks have been nailed or you know, people have been scammed online. It's just a press of a button and billions gone. Before you know it, you know, everything's gone. So yeah. I don't know. Okay. This race to go to this is, I'm not sure if it's a good idea, really.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling us today, Julian. We appreciate it. 5-1. That's it for Man in Line today. Remember, this coming Wednesday, the Chief Constable will be on. Last week, we were live at the prison, and he is mainly responsible for filling the prison because he did a very good job. Russ Foster is on this coming Wednesday. And if you want to get a question in or a comment in beforehand, easy as pie, call the answer phone on 682-631, or you can email maninline@manxradio.com. Russ Foster has been in office since April 2023, just three and a bit years, and my word, they've certainly been at it. Detection rates have improved, reported crimes fallen, and the prison has never been fuller. But if there's anything else you want to talk about on the Isle of Man with the Chief Constable, he's on Wednesday. So you can get stuff in the meantime, or just take your chance on Wednesday. Lots more comment about the boat. And a note in from Roger, who just said, I think you're right, the steam packet's caught in the middle. Because the DOI are the ones that seem to make all the decisions. And, of course, the steam packet has to rent, for a lot of money, the sea terminal from the DOI. That's it. Thanks to Michelle on the phone today. Back tomorrow, open line. WINT.